In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, tonight we begin part three, Luisa and the Mediatrix of the Divine Life. We're on page one, volume 34. 4/25/1937. And then, as my divine will operates in the soul, heaven places itself in expectation, because swimming in the fiat, they feel that it is about to operate, and therefore they place themselves at attention, and they demand, they yearn to receive the new conquests and new joys of the life of the divine will that they possess. So here we have, again, it's to understanding the divine will. The divine will operated in the soul. Heaven places itself in expectation. Okay, why? Because the soul is beginning to enter into this life that is it's divine. And what this is why God created Adam. God created Adam so that the kingdom can be reign in a human. And this is what God is looking for. So he says very clearly, when my divine will operates in the soul, heaven is in expectation. Because in heaven, the saints, the angels, Our Lady, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they feel that the divine will is about to operate, and they place themselves at attention. They demand, they yearn to receive the new conquests, the new joys of the life of the divine will that they possess. So they're getting a new and abundant life that's happening from the souls who will be living in the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. So this is the thing that's so astonishing. What God wants is he wants us to enter into a life that is hasn't been seen since Adam. Jesus lived it, and the Blessed Mother lived it. They gave this to Luisa, and now Jesus is trying to explain to us what he has planned for us, and that is to do what God does. That's not to be God, but to do what God does. And this goes way beyond what the saints were doing. The saints were doing the will of God. It was holy, good, and saintly, but in a human manner. And that's not how God wanted us to live. So he's calling us to live a life that when God breathed into the dust, he breathed his image and likeness. And out of that dust came the image and likeness of God. That means that creature, Adam, could do what God does. And that's why Jesus says, you'll do far greater things than I. And how can we do far greater things than God? It's done in the divine will. So it's this abundant life that Jesus lives, this abundant life that the Blessed Mother lives, is now open to mankind. Now, nobody lives this perfectly yet. Nobody lives it perfectly because the first one next to Luisa who will possess this life, as we hear in the three appeals, will be the Holy Father. The Holy Father will possess this life. And the reason, it's very simple. You have Adam and Eve for creation. You have Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve for redemption. And then you need a third Adam and Eve. And Jesus already showed us in volume 26 on the very first day that Luisa is the third Eve. So the third Adam will be the Holy Father. He has the keys to the kingdom. He will open the door, and then there'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will live the Catholic life, the universal life. So this means that it's a new beginning that's coming. And that's why when you look at Our Lady of Revelation, she says that to Bruno on the very first day that she speaks to him, basically, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world, but it's a new beginning. It's a new era that has begun. So again, you look at this. It's very clear. When my divine will operates in Louisa, when my divine will operates in us, heaven places itself in expectation. Because swimming in the fiat, okay, this is what Jesus is asking us to enter into. Swimming in this fiat, they feel that the divine will is about to operate, and therefore they place themselves at attention. They demand, they yearn to receive the new conquests, the new joys of this life of the divine will that they possess that's operating now in a human, in a person. So when we look at this, it goes way beyond what the saints have taught us. The saints taught us to do the will of God. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to learn how to live in the will of God. So it's primary life of the saints. It is the primary life of the saints in heaven. Therefore, the act that it does, it lets everyone concur. So with divine right, they want to receive the new divine joys and the new beautiful conquests that only my holy divine will knows how to do. So again, it's more than what God showed in redemption. It's to begin to be sanctified, to live a life of sanctification, and therefore it's the primary life of heaven. Therefore, the act done with the soul living in the divine will, operating the divine will, everyone agrees with this. And with divine right, they want to receive the new divine joys, the new beautiful conquests that only my holy divine will knows how to do. So again, it's abundant life. It's a second heaven for them. It's a new beginning of life and of love and of light. Our Lord is asking us to enter into this new beginning. And so we have to learn this. This is the thing that God is asking. How do you learn it? You read, you study, you put this into practice. This is what Jesus is looking for. So he says very clearly, so the one, and this is Louisa, and hopefully us, who lets the divine will operate in her acts, it is the new divine joy of heaven. So every heartbeat, every breath, when you do your prevenient act in the morning and your actual acts throughout the day, everything that you think, say, and do is a new divine joy of heaven. And the beloved, the welcome one, the longed for of the whole celestial court, more so because there are no joys of conquest up there. Therefore, they await them from earth. So this is the reason why what God is asking of us to do, we do here on earth. It's not after we die. Once we die, we can no longer do anything of value because we'll be living in the kingdom. We'll be living in the divine will. But we can't produce any acts. We only can do that while on earth. So Jesus says to Louisa continuously, do not lose a moment. Do not lose a moment. So what does that mean? Every thought, every word, every deed should be done in the divine will. Why? So that the kingdom can be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. This is so amazing what God is doing. And he's asking us to do it. So as it says, so we, with Louisa, who lets the divine will operate in our acts, we produce, because God is doing it, a new divine joy of heaven. And the beloved, the welcome one, the longed for of the whole celestial court. On earth, we are doing our acts and our rounds on earth. And this is the celestial banquet of heaven. This the as Jesus says, it's the heavenly banquet, the marriage banquet in heaven. So it says, oh, if all would know all these secrets of my divine fiat. So here Jesus is saying that what God has told Louisa, he wants everyone to know. These are secrets. Again, God does everything in secret. How do we know this? The biggest secret that we have is Jesus is in the Blessed Sacrament in every Catholic church. Yet the churches are empty. It is a secret that God is asking of us to live. It's the same thing with the scapular and the rosary. What Our Lady shows us is to pray the rosary, to wear the scapular. Okay, this is a secret. It's like Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a secret. Only the shepherds and the wise men showed up. The secret of Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. You know, there are many that don't want to believe that. There are many that don't want the fruit of the womb of Mary, which is the Holy Eucharist. Many people don't want to receive Holy Eucharist. It's a secret. So this secret here is the greatest of secrets. Jesus says, if everyone would know all these secrets of my divine fiat, they would give their lives in order to live of the divine will and let the divine will reign in the entire world. So it's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's to enter into a share of divinity. This is what God is waiting for. So He's looking at us. He's giving us the book of heaven. He's asked us to read. He's asked us to study. He's asked us to put this into practice. And He needs us to cooperate. It's very, very, it's very clear. If you knew all these secrets, that's the 36 volumes. Every page is filled with secrets, it's filled with promises. If everyone would know this, they would give their lives in order to live of the divine will. And they would let the divine will reign in the entire world. So this is what's coming. It's a divine mandate. God says that as creation was a divine mandate, as redemption was a divine mandate, now sanctification is a divine mandate. And He's asking us to be the ones to give our lives in order to live the divine will, to let the divine will reign not only in us, but in our families, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with our parishioners. So the divine will to reign in the midst of creatures is important. What does that mean? It means very clearly that to reign on earth as it is in heaven. So you're the one that Jesus wants to breathe. He wants to breathe in your breathing. He wants to beat in your heart beating. He wants to gaze in your gazing. He wants to listen in your listening. He wants to speak in your speaking. He wants to use your senses to experience God. And that's why God created our senses. That's why what you read in volume 36, God gave us our human senses for God. We are to see God and to hear God and to smell God, to taste God and to touch God. So this is what God is asking. He's asking us, would you allow Him, the Lord God Almighty, to gaze in your gazing, to listen in your listening? He wants to divinize your senses. Right now our senses are human. We do not see God. As Catholics, we see God in the Holy Eucharist. That is Jesus Christ. We believe this. As Catholics, we can taste God in the Holy Eucharist. As Catholics, we can hear God speak when the Gospel is read. As Catholics, we can smell God through the odor of sanctity when the incense is used. When Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, God is there. Jesus says, I am there. So when you hold hands, whether it's two or three people, God is present. So we are beginning to experience God with our senses. Yet He's got such great plans that He wants us to see Him, to hear Him. He wants us to use our senses the way He has originally planned. So going back to this, He's saying, you have to understand these secrets. You have to know these secrets. So we read, we study, we put this into practice. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to begin to live this abundant life. So volume 34, 5, 6, 1937, and he, Jesus, with a tender and moving accent, as to feel my heart burst, told me, okay, see, her heart is bursting. Her heart is experiencing God. I am. And he uses his name as God. I am within you, Louisa. I am yours. I am at your disposition. So this is what we want to. Jesus is saying to us, if we're linked to Louisa, and our hearts will burst as well, I am within you. And when we're baptized as priests, prophets, and kings. We're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God is within us. And that's the beginning of our image of God. Through holy baptism, we are now in the image of God. And our whole life on earth is to enter into the likeness of God. So through holy baptism, this is what Jesus says, I am within you. What Jesus says to us, I am yours. And this, the next part is the humble God. I am at your disposition. So what we want is we want to please God in all things, with every thought, every word, every deed. We want Jesus to be the Lord of our life in every aspect. We want him to reign in us. We want him to be the Lord of our life. We want to say to Jesus, when we're doing our rounds, Jesus, let's look at the sky and let's adore the Father as you, when you looked at the sky, adore the Father and praise the Father and glorify the God, Father and worship our Heavenly Father. And what happens at that point is just by looking at the blue sky, you're letting Jesus reign in you. When you look at the trees, you say, Jesus, gaze in my gazing. I want you, Lord, to see again on earth with my eyes. I want you to praise the Father with looking through my eyes, seeing what I am seeing. I want you to be the Lord of this. So in every aspect of our life, this is what God is doing. And he says, this is, I am at your disposition. Whatever you want, I will do. So this is what we're learning. This is the secrets we're learning. We're learning how to turn to God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and to allow him to be the Lord of our life. And again, most people don't want that. Most people say, I want to be in charge. I want, and you can see that. You can see that with Hollywood. Everybody gets an award, you know, every year, basically. They get a pat on the back. They get an applause. They get a reward for what they've done. And Jesus says, I want you to live in your nothingness so that I can reign there. And so that you can participate one with me in my image and likeness. So again, it's not for us to receive awards or pats on the back or applause. It's all for the glory of God. This is what God is waiting for. I am at your disposition. I am yours. I'm within you. You know, write that on your mirror. You know, when you wake up in the morning, recognize that Jesus is within us, that Jesus is ours, that Jesus is at our disposition. And the more we understand this, the more we surrender to him, the more we're docile, the more we're submissive to what God is asking. And this is what he's asking. He's saying, my wounds, my blood, and all my sufferings are yours. So here is, this is important. When the Father sees someone that loves the Son, he allows that person to go through sufferings, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. And we all do. But what do we do with our sufferings? It's to recognize that Jesus is the one who suffered the most. So when we're going through any type of suffering, we say to the Lord, you know, I want you to come down from the cross just for a moment so I could take your place, so that you can not go through this suffering alone. It's to be one with God. And this is what's happening here. My wounds, my blood, and all my suffering are yours. So that's what God is looking for. This is why the crucifix is so essential. To see Christ crucified is essential. Mel Gibson's movie is essential. To see Christ crucified is important. To study the Shroud of Turin. To recognize what Jesus went through. He didn't have to do that. But he knew either he died or we all died. It's one or the other. And God, who cannot die, died. You can do with me what you want. Rather, do as magnanimous, as brave, as lover, as my true imitator. So here, he's showing us, you can do with me what you want. And a lot of people do to Jesus what they want. You know, those with sacrilegious, they do with Jesus what they want. And Jesus says, you can do that. He says, but, he says, rather do this. Rather be brave as lover. Be my true imitator. So he's asking us to imitate him on the cross. And that doesn't mean we have to be crucified. But all of us are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And we can drag our cross behind us, complaining about our sufferings, being negative, being upset, worrying and fearful and anxious and complaining. But Jesus says, he embraced the cross. Be imitators of me. Be, you know, all of us have to suffer. I mean, that's what life is. Life is suffering. And we willingly say to God, I will be your imitator. I'll be your true imitator. This is so important that the Father gives us suffering. And we've all heard the story that when we get to heaven, we're going to see what true suffering meant. And we're all going to see how powerful suffering was. And all of us are going to say to God, let me go back to earth to suffer again. And the Lord will say to each and every one of us, I've given you the time. I've given you the opportunity. You did with it what you wished. And so therefore, it's not that we love suffering. It's we love Jesus who suffered the most. We want to imitate him who did not have to suffer. Yet he took upon himself all our sins. He suffered the most painful, the most horrible of deaths. Take my blood in order to give it to whomever you want. Think about, like we just this Monday, think about all the soldiers, you know, the miles of tombstones of the soldiers who have died, not just in the last couple wars, but from the beginning of time with the death of Abel. All those that have been martyred, all those that have been killed. This was, Jesus says, we can take his blood and pour it on everyone who has died a horrible and painful death to soothe them in their last agonies. I mean, there's no time or space. You could go back to Abel. You know, there's no time or space in the divine will. So, use this. He says this is what he wants. He says, be my true imitator. Take my blood in order to give it to whom you want. Now, there's a lot of people that may have offended us or our families. And our job is to forgive them. That's what Jesus says. He says we have to have the heroic forgiveness of Christ crucified. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We can take Jesus' precious blood and help those people that have offended us. We can forgive those people who have offended us. Because this is what Jesus did for us. You know, we offended him horribly with our sins. Yet Jesus is saying to us, take my blood and give it to whom you want. He says, take my wounds in order to heal the wounds of sinners. This is to be an imitator of Christ is to help everybody. To be an imitator of Christ is not to cheer when someone's beheaded. To be an imitator of Christ is to, as he says, use his wounds in order to heal the wounds of sinners. So we look at what God is calling us to. He's calling us to, this is redemption. He's calling us to help him. He's done everything, but he's saying, would you like to imitate me as well? Would you take my blood to help anyone? Would you take my wounds to heal anyone? What do you want to do? And as we enter into this life, this prayer, what happens is our life becomes a real blessing, not only for ourselves, but for all who we pray for. It's the precious blood of Jesus that we can give. Jesus says this, take my blood, give it to whomever you want. Take my wounds and heal the wounds of sinners. Just think of all those soldiers who are buried in Europe. The miles of the dead. Arlington, the miles. Again, let's look at all the babies that were murdered in abortion. We can use the blood of Jesus to heal them, to help them win their crown in heaven. See, there's so many things that we can do. Again, it's very, very important. He says, take my life in order to give the life of grace, to give the life of sanctity, give the life of love, give the life of divine will to all souls. So you can give it to your family. Who doesn't want this gift? You can give it to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. You can give it to whomever you wish. Just think about this. What the Lord is saying to us, he said to a few saints, but not in this way. He's asking us to be a true imitator of him in order what to bring healing, to bring, as he says here, life, grace, sanctity, love, divine will to everyone, past, present, and future. See, this is the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics, and kindle us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your Spirit, and we will be recreated. And then you, Lord, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. This is what this is about. What's renewing the world but giving divine life, divine grace, divine sanctity, divine will to everyone? What does that mean? It means it's a whole new era that's begun. Everything is going to be repaired. Everything's going to be redone. So the Lord is looking at us and he's saying, I want you to like he started with this, with the last one. I want you to know these secrets. I want to know, let you know these treasures of the Holy Spirit, of the divine will. So he's looking at us and he's saying, I'm giving you a hint of what I'm calling you to do. And that's what God is looking for. He doesn't want to hint at something that he doesn't want done. He says, I'm sharing this with you so that you will do it. And again, it's for souls that are generous. It's for souls that want what God wants. This is what God is doing. Take my death in order to make many souls dead in sin to rise again. I mean, you know people in your own families. You know people on your street. You know people who are dead in sin. And Jesus is saying, I want you to use my death in order to make them rise again. You see what Jesus is doing? To be a true imitator of Christ. Take my blood, take my wounds, take my life, take my death. See, the Lord he wants to start a new beginning for the world. It's a whole new beginning. He did not give this to the saints. He gave this to Louisa. And now he wants to give it to us. Louisa did this. This was her life. And so Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, are you willing to do what I asked Louisa to do? And that doesn't mean we have to be in bed for 64 years without eating, drinking, or sleeping. It doesn't. She's done that. No, God is asking us to, in our prayer, to enter into this life of Jesus. And that's why he says, I am within you. I am yours. I am at your disposition. And then he tells us what he wants. Okay? He says, you can do with me what you want. He says, but rather, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. So he says, I give you, Louisa, all the freedom to do it. I give you, Louisa, to know how to be my daughter. I have given myself, and that is enough. So we look at what Jesus is saying to us. I'm giving to you as I gave to Louisa. It's all the freedom to do what I'm asking you to do. You have the freedom to do this. You have the power to do this. You have the right to do this. He says, therefore, he goes, you will know how to be my child, my daughter, my son. I will show you how to live a life that is one with me, one with my mother. And again, this is why we have the hours of the Passion. This is why, again, it's so important to meditate on Christ crucified. I, God, have given myself, and that is enough. So he's the one that's done this, and he's saying, I'm calling you to do more than I asked the saints to do. I'm calling you to be my true imitator. And I'm giving you everything that I possess so that you can do with it as you wish. He says, but I'm doing this. So therefore, I'm asking you to do this. So when we look at this, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be nervous about. Because what Jesus is asking, he's asking us to begin to live his life. It's not only gaze in my gazing, Jesus, or listen in my listening. But he's saying, I want you to take my wounds, my blood, my sufferings, my blood, my wounds, my sufferings, my life, my death. Why? To renew the face of the earth. To be transmuted in God is to become like God. It's not that you are God, but to become like him. And that's what he's saying to us with this great gift of the divine will. So he says, you think of making everything redound to my glory of how to make me be loved. Okay, he says, you think of this. Think of how to be make me be re-loved. Make me be more loved. He says, your family isn't doing this. Your neighbors aren't doing this. Your coworkers aren't doing this. Would you take their place and love me more? Love me as if they were loving me, adoring me, praising me, thanking me, glorifying me, worshiping me. And that's what happens. The church even says this now. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all mankind. Your prayer is in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And this is why John Paul II asked that we have Eucharistic adoration in every parish. And if you can't find Eucharistic adoration in your parish, you can find it on the internet. DivineWill.org, I think, shows Savior.org. You know, go to Savior.org, and you can be with Jesus every day. Again, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. He says this: my will shall give you the flight in order to make you bring my blood, my wounds, my kisses, my paternal tendernesses to my children and to your brothers and sisters. See, Jesus is doing this. He says, would you be the vehicle? He says, think of making everything redound to my glory, how to make me be doubly loved again. My divine will give you the flight. My divine will make this flight in order to make you bring my blood, my wounds, my kisses, my paternal tendernesses to my children, past, present, and future. From Cain and Abel on. I mean, God, you know, here Cain kills Abel, and God doesn't kill Abel. I mean, God doesn't kill Cain. I mean, you can see the love of God. Yet there is this tendency of hate, tendency of murder. And our job is to repair this from Cain and Abel on. Repair, repair, redo. That's what Jesus is saying. So he's saying to us, he says, therefore do not marvel. This is truly the divine operation. Do you see what God is doing? He knows that we're going to go, this is amazing. He knows we're going to say, this is too much for me. He knows we're going to say, you did this, Lord. I can't do this. And he says, hey, don't marvel at this. This is truly the divine operation. God wants us to enter into this divine life. He says it. Divine grace, divine sanctity, divine love, divine will. I want you to enter into this to possess it. Why? So that you can give it to everyone. It's not just your family. See, it's the divine will isn't to become holy. It isn't to become a saint. The divine will is to, Jesus says, is to save the human generations, to restore the human generations as God originally planned. So the Lord has done this. He is King. He is our Savior. He's our God. He's our Master. Yeah, he says very clearly, I am within you. I am yours. I am totally at your disposition. Do with me as you wish. But this is what I want more than anything, that you bring everyone back to me. Do you see why this is much different than the saints? The saints would get a group of people, like the Dominicans or the Franciscans or the Benedictines. They'd get a group of people to follow their rule. The saints' rule, the founders' rule, the founders' rule. And now Jesus is saying, that's not enough. I want you to bring everyone back to me. This is what he's saying. He says, do not marvel. This is truly a divine operation. God is doing this. And he's saying to us, will you be willing to allow me to reign in you? Will you be willing to do what I have done, what my mother has done? Are you willing to step up and accomplish this? To keep its works in the act of repeating them continuously in order to give them so as to make them a gift to all mankind, to the creatures, all mankind. This divine operating is the life of the divine will. To keep its works in the act of repeating them continuously in order to give them to everyone, to make everyone have this gift of the divine will. So the Lord looks at us and he says, I've given this to Louisa. Louisa has given me her yes, and she's living in the divine will. So he's saying very clearly, could you just hit the button? Hitting very clearly that I forgot to take the other one off. Let's see. I lost my train of thought. Truly the divine operated to keep its works as asked, repeated and continuously to give them in order to make. Okay, so Louisa has been, she said yes to God. And God is saying, this gift is yours if you want it. I gave it to Louisa, and she, what she has done is helped bring the fulfillment of the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then he says very clearly to Louisa, I've done this for you. And then he says to us, do you want this? Do you want to begin a life that I originally planned for the beginning of time, but it's more than what God gave to Adam. That's why we say on Holy Saturday night, oh, happy fall of Adam. God is giving us more than what he gave to Adam. And this is what it is right here. It's very, very clear. So that each one can say, everything is mine. Even God himself is mine. See, God knows we have been handed this. I mean, God's doing this, not us. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, there will be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. This is true. So now each person can say, everything is mine. Each person can say, even God himself is mine. So when we begin to enter into this gift of the divine will, enter into this life that God gave to Louisa, it's not for us. It's for everybody. So Jesus is saying, are you willing to not think of yourself and to think of what I have asked of you? And this is why this is so great, so magnificent. Every person can say, everything is mine. Even God himself is mine. Now, right now, most people are very far from God. Like in the world, you have 7 billion people and 1 billion are Christian, Catholic. What we need is everybody to possess this. And so he's saying, not only those that are living now, but everyone who has ever lived and who will ever live, even in the future. So he's asking us, are you willing to do this so that this kingdom could be established on earth as it is in heaven? Are you willing to help bring the Our Father to fulfillment? And then Jesus says, and this is the best part, and oh, how we, triune God, enjoy in seeing the children gifted with our divine works, our life, and they therefore become possessors of their God, of their Creator. So again, this whole reason why we are living today, the whole reason why God has predestined us to live today, is so that God can be pleased with mankind. And he's going to be pleased with mankind when we begin to do what Jesus has asked Louisa to do. Louisa's already done this. Louisa's already accomplished this. So now Jesus is saying, I want to enjoy. The triune God wants to enjoy seeing the children gifted with our divine works. Seeing the children gifted with our life, our light, our love. And therefore, they will be possessors of God. So what the saints have been given was to be in God's image and likeness. The saints were given to be in God's image. And now Jesus is asking us to be in God's image and likeness. So what's so beautiful about this gift is to begin to live a life that God wanted from the beginning. To begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which Louisa possesses. So he's looking at us and he's saying, would you be willing to do this? Would you be willing to know these secrets, study these secrets, and then put them into practice? Are you willing to take my life, my death, my blood, my wounds, and give it to all mankind as I have done? Would you be willing to be true imitators of me so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven? And then when that happens, the devil who's been banished from heaven with the kingdom of God on earth will be banished from earth. He can't stay here. That's why Our Lady of Revelation said, time has now come to an end. The new era has begun. Again, she appeared 40 days after Louisa died. Again, this is very symbolic. Why? It's a new beginning for mankind. Our Lady wants to tell the world a new beginning is coming. And Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, are you willing to do this? Are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? How blessed are we to live at this time? God has chosen us, predestined us to live at this time, and he needs us to begin to say yes. He needs us to begin to say, I want what you want, Lord. And when we begin to do that, God is happy. God is pleased with us. God is pleased with mankind because we become the possessors. The saints were to know, love, and serve God. We are to know, love, and possess God. That's what he wants from us. That's what he's looking for us to do. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.